coming up today on The Travel Guys.
For all you sailors out there, we have a lesson on when to drop anchor while cruising.
Cockpit doors on airlines may be safer even than we ever thought.
We've got some great ideas for Christmas destinations close to home.
And some far away. All that today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks. Out on the Route 66.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm here with the king of the road, the king of the skies, the travel guy, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation. And to my immediate right, we are lucky enough to have someone we rarely see him here in town because he is the tour guy, Clayton Whitehead, also from Sports Leisure Vacations. And, of course, you see Clayton pretty regularly on KVIE Channel 6.
He's quite the celebrity, you know.
Weren't you just on last night?
Well, I tried to be on last night, along with Peter Yarrow.
But Peter didn't make it.
Bless his heart. He got confused. He flew to San Francisco instead.
Instead of Sacramento.
Yep.
I hate it when that happens.
Yep.
So what did you guys do?
Well, we just played another program and aired a lot of calls.
And
it was
just
a fun night in TV land.
And
live television. You got to love it.
Yeah, well, and of course, that probably has a little bit of a revenue impact on the local public television station, I would guess.
It probably did, but it was still a really great night, thanks to all of our new members who called in and became a member of KVIE last night. Television worth watching.
Well, Clayton, thanks for popping in today to join us here on The Travel Guys. Mr. Romano, it's good to see you here in this Christmas season.
Thank you, and I love the Christmas shirt there. You got little tiny people all dressed up in little Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
It's green and white and red. And
well, my
Christmas
mother-in-law gave me this shirt for Christmas a number of years ago, and it's the kind of shirt you can only wear for about 1 month out of the year, so I try to get it, you know, three or four rotations in December.
Well, you've made me feel festive.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I have some great travel news here. It'll make you feel even more festive.
All right. Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, it is the infamous travel news, the latest, the greatest, and up to date. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hoffman with the Travel Canoes.
When is dropping anchor not a good idea? You may have heard about this one, or things I wish I hadn't done when I sobered up in the morning. A 44-year-old Californian named Rick Eckhart? Eckhart.
Yeah.
He's in trouble, whatever, was shown on cameras entering a restricted area on Holland America's Rhine Dam while it was heading back to Tampa after a 7-day Caribbean cruise. He put on work gloves and released the ship's rear anchor. The Tampa Tribune reports the man told FBI agents and the U.S. Coast Guard investigators that he knew how to release the anchor because he owns a 50-foot boat with a similar anchor. He said he was drunk at the time. There was no damage, but releasing an anchor on a moving ship could have caused considerable damage to the rudder or propeller, or could have caused the anchor to puncture the ship. Mr. Eckhart was arrested. The ship was returning to Tampa.
Yeah, that was one of those. That was one of those. Tom and Mark are on this boat, and Tom has a boat, and Mark and Tom, and Mark goes, I dare you.
I've had a few too many.
I dare you. And then later on, I go, well, I was drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't mention the dare.
Work gloves and all. It kind of sounds like he was prepared for the moment. In the It's Never a Dull Moment with the TSA department, a woman going through security in a wheelchair in Oklahoma City Airport removed her trench coat, leaving her dressed in a black lace bra and panties. Police were called in and questioned her, allowed her to proceed to security. She was given an enhanced pat-down because she was in a wheelchair. Oh, it gets better. During screening of her carry-on and a laptop, an alarm for nitrates was triggered, and the Transportation Safety Administration said in a statement Wednesday she was not allowed to proceed to her flight to Phoenix. However, the woman, not to be deterred, returned to the airport the next morning, again clad in her underwear, and cleared security without incident.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, no, all kidding aside, the TSA people, they don't want to have to do this.
You can't. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, a lady in a wheelchair dressed like a hooker going through TS. You know, that nitrate thing, by the way, that actually does happen. I had it.
What is the nitrate?
Nitrates are a thing that is contained like in good hand lotion.
And also gunpowder.
And gunpowder, yes, exactly. Nitroglycerin, it's a derivative of nitroglycerin. So it'll show up sometimes on, if you're handling, like I was handling my computer, put on hand lotion, closed up my computer, put it in the thing. They happened to randomly test my computer, and bing, 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 the bells and whistles went off. And the first thing the gentleman asked me was, he said, "Do you have any hand lotion?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yes." He said, "Could I see it?" And when I handed it to him, he looked at the label, the ingredients in the label, and he said, "Okay, that was the problem." So anyways, be careful about putting on hand lotion right before you close your computer, right before you go to the airport, or just go dressed like a hooker and everything will be fine. A new report says jet lag causes long-term memory loss. This explains a lot of things.
Yes, a lot of things about you.
Jet lag can cause many to feel tired and forgetful for up to a month after coming back from a long flight. This is not good news for me because I do long flights more than every month.
You just came back from a long flight.
This was a new study done with, are you ready? Hamsters. The study found that jet lag causes long-term changes to the brain. It is similar to what alternating day-night shifts or unusual schedules can cause to the brain. It can last up to a month. The researchers subjected female hamsters to six-hour changes in schedule similar to a New York to Paris flight twice a week for 4 weeks. The hamsters had trouble learning simple tasks that other more rested hamsters could do during the four-week period. But more surprisingly, the learning problems persisted for a month after they settled back into a normal schedule.
Didn't they just ask the hamsters what they had for dinner a week ago? Isn't that...
Researchers used hamsters because they have such precise... I have to do this every 2 weeks with this man for an hour. Researchers used hamsters because they have such precise circadian rhythms driven by an internal 24-hour clock that everyone possesses. So you, Tom, have that in common with hamsters.
Thank you. We knew that.
So the next time you sit down next to a hamster on a long flight, I'm going to ask for some words of wisdom about jet lag. Who was to know that the hamsters had all the answers? The TSA is going to revise rules for pilot screening. The pilots, as you know, had screamed about the new body scans, not necessarily because they didn't want to show all their junk to the TSA, but because they were concerned about having to go through it on such a regular basis. The TSA said Friday it would offer expedited screening for pilots beginning early in the new year. Pilots will now go through an alternative identity-based screening as opposed to the physical screening. This means pilots will present an airline ID with positive validation at the checkpoint. By doing that, the TSA said it will eliminate the need for additional physical screening and enable TSA to provide the focus on those who may be a possible risk, which is nice to hear that they have that philosophy. Speaking of TSA and security, a locked cockpit door held up a flight for 4 hours Wednesday. Delta Flight 124 was to fly from Los Angeles to Atlanta, but was delayed nearly 4 hours because the cockpit door was locked and the pilot and crew could not get in.
Was there anybody in the cockpit?
They were on the out. No, there was nobody in the cockpit. Mechanics worked on getting the door open for nearly 4 hours, which I would suggest to you. It's a good thing that they couldn't get into their own door, because if they can't get into their own door for 4 hours, we probably are fairly safe.
There you go. You just got to remember when you're exiting the cockpit that you don't turn that little thing on the knob that faces straight up and down, because then you've locked it.
Well, and if you're a terrorist, you might not want to take a job working for Delta, I guess, because they're not going to be of any help to you. Marine experts are stumped over the fire on the Splendor, Carnival's cruise ship that was much heralded a few weeks ago. They've not been able to figure out just why the fire in one of the engines could have shut down the whole ship. The ship is designed with two engine rooms that are essentially duplicates. They should have been able to provide power to the ship from the other engine room. The investigation is being headed by Panama, where the Splendor is registered. The National Transportation Safety Board and the Coast Guard are assisting, along with Panama's Maritime Authority. Damage to the ship was limited to the aft engine room and control rooms. Carnival said it was the first time in the company's history that such an issue with a diesel generator happened. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the travel news for
today. No bed bugs today.
None at all.
Is that a good thing? Does that mean that there are more bed bugs?
They're not in the news. So the bed bugs have completely gone. A victim of the 24-hour news cycle. When we come back from our break, we have on the phone with us, Catherine is the director of the Coos Bay and North Bend Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, you may not think that is significant for any reason except one of the coolest Christmas lights displays in the Pacific Northwest is located just outside of Coos Bay, Oregon. And we're going to find out all about it right after this break.
And we'll have pictures right here on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We are the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation. Clayton Whitehead, our the tour guy. Also from
our road reporter.
Road reporter from.
Yeah. It's wintertime, so we brought all the road reporters home.
From Sports Leisure Vacations and Tom Romano. I don't do much of anything. I need to decorate my house. And
hey, the lovely Jim Naylor will be by with a traffic report in just a few minutes. But if you're driving anywhere around Arden Fair, it's a mess. We can just I can verify that right now.
We did. We had to take the long way to work today because of the marathon. You couldn't cross Fair Oaks Boulevard, which is our destination from the 50 side. But we got here. We're here, and we got some cool stuff. Mark, what's coming up?
We do. We've got some great Christmas destinations to talk about. Clayton is here to tell us all about some of the places that he spent Christmas in recent years, including the Hotel Del Coronado and a place called the Apple Farm Inn in San Luis Obispo. If folks have not been there and don't know this place, why, it's someplace that something that you need to put on your list. But before, and we're also going to talk a little bit about my recent trip to New York City during the holidays. And if you're planning a trip to the Big Apple and you want to go at the most popular time of the year, give you a few hints. So those things are all coming up. And we're going to Santa Claus, Indiana, in the second half of the show.
Very cool.
But before we do that, we have a guest on the line with us right now. Joining us all the way from Coos Bay, Oregon, is Catherine Hoppe. Catherine is the director of the Coos Bay and North Bend Convention and Visitors Bureau. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're all just fine here in Sacramento. What's the weather up in your neck of the woods like today?
You know, it's actually beautiful today. It's sunny. It's 55 degrees. It's a perfect coastal day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's about 55 degrees here in Sacramento, I think, but it's to say beautiful would not be the description I would use. It's a little bit dreary.
Oh.
Imagine Coos Bay weather being better than Sacramento. Catherine, we were just talking during the break and before the break about a few years ago, I had the opportunity to come up to the Coos Bay area during the holiday season. And we had the chance to see the Christmas lights up there at Shore Acres State Park. And I thought that it was absolutely one of the most amazing outdoor lights displays. If Hewell Hauser was here, he would say, that's amazing, that I had ever seen. Tell the folks a little bit about this, because I don't think anybody around Sacramento knows about this incredible Christmas celebration that you have up in Coos Bay.
You know, it's in its 24th year right now, and it started off small, but it has just grown tremendously, and things have changed even since you came. It's a 5-acre botanical garden, and there's about 350,000 lights. They have all kinds of images, like life-size whales, sea creatures, crabs, and, of course, just tons of Christmas trees as well. And it's just amazing. Even though I go every year, every time I walk in, it just takes my breath away.
Is this a walkthrough?
It is. It's a walkthrough, and it's actually right on the coast of the ocean. So even though it's at night, you'll hear all the waves kind of crashing in. But it's well protected by all the trees, so you never get that cold while you're roaming through the park.
Hey, if you're somewhere near a computer and you're listening to us on the radio right now, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a link there that will take you right to Shore Acres State Park Christmas lights. And so you can see exactly what we're talking about right now. But it is, Tom, you really have to see it to believe it. It is. Look at it right here. See the picture? See, isn't that pretty cool?
Yes.
Yeah,
very nice.
That's what it looks like at this. And there's a great story that goes with this, with Shore Acres State Park. Can you give us the Reader's Digest condensed version?
Sure. We had a lovely couple here named David and Shirley Bridgen that thought, wouldn't it be neat if we did something out here? So they started off with just about a few hundred lights and a Christmas tree, and about 700 people showed up to see the lights. And every year it just sort of caught on, and it became something that our community really embraces. It takes us about 1,500 volunteers and 4 weeks to string all the lights together, and every service group that you can imagine comes out to the park every night, hosts the night to welcome all the visitors and to give them cookies and hot cider and just make everyone feel that kind of warm and fuzzy holiday feeling.
I have a question for you. Is the event weatherproof?
If you have a jacket with a hood, it is definitely weatherproof.
So it's rain or, well, not shine, rain or moon glow, right?
Exactly. It goes on every night. It always starts on Thanksgiving, and it goes on till New Year's Eve, and it's rain or shine, unless there's a tremendous kind of unusual storm. It stays open every night from 4 to 9:30 p.m.
And I'm guessing this is all free?
You know, going into the lights, it actually is free. There is a parking fee at Short Acre State Park, so it's $5 per vehicle. But if you don't want to pay that, you can always park outside of the park and just walk in.
It's the most amazingly wonderful place, Tom, because at Short Acre State Park, as she was mentioning, there's a history there. This man owned it, and he had some ups and downs, and eventually he ended up down. But this beautiful park was given to the state, and they have done such an incredible job. It's beautiful to go out and see it during the day because it is right on the ocean, and it offers spectacular views of the Pacific, and they even have an indoor viewing room, so if it's a little stormy or a little wet out there, you can still enjoy it. And then you can go back in the evening, and the whole park takes on an entirely different look. It's really, you would never think Coos Bay, perhaps, mm-hmm. but it is really the most outstanding lights display I think that I've ever seen, and I've gotten to see a few. What else is going on at this time of the year, Catherine, in Coos Bay?
You know, another fun thing to do, we have a little volunteer fire department and their story is sort of the same. It was a labor of love. They started by creating this little miniature Christmas village and picking out little light displays and little houses that sort of represented Coos County. And it's grown into this huge display of miniature Christmas miniature Christmas trains and lights. And it's absolutely free. You just pop in on your way back to Short Acres, and you get that kind of little kid feeling again whenever you see the miniature trains going around through the villages. And there's also one of the things where I think all small communities shine is some of their theater performances, because the holidays are a time to sort of go all out and give Christmas performances. We have a band here that's very popular here as well as in Sacramento called Evolution. They're a high school lab band, and they always do a big performance at Christmas too.
Speaking of music, Catherine, does the you have carolers and some Christmas tunes along the way as you wander through the light displays?
You know, on occasion they will have carolers, or sometimes they have a group that plays the Christmas bells come out, but those aren't specific nights. So if you're interested in seeing that, it's really better to call ahead to Short Acres and see what nights they're going to be playing.
And they have an open concession area that has cider, hop cider and punch and coffee and cookies and all of that kind of jazz. Catherine, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us today and tell us a little bit about the Christmas going-ons in Coos Bay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Catherine.
Our pleasure. Catherine Hoppe from the Coos Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau, Coos Bay North Bend Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'm telling you, it's an incredible lights display, and we have a Sports Leisure Vacations group going up there in just a couple of weeks to enjoy this lights display, and I took a group there on a mystery tour a couple of years ago. Clayton, we said that we were going to talk about a little bit about some of the Christmas places that you have been in the last few years. Last year, you spent Christmas at a true California landmark.
I absolutely did. Last Christmas on beautiful Coronado Island, just across the water from San Diego, at the historic Hotel Del Coronado. My favorite hotel on the planet, Mark, and I've stayed in a lot of hotels, but none beat the Del, in my opinion.
Now, the Del has both an old section that's over 100 years old now and a beautiful new marina tower that looks out over the – so which would you stay in if you go there?
Well, the marina tower's nice, but, I mean, new nice hotels are everywhere on the planet. I think you have to stay in the old Del. It was built in 1888, electrified by Thomas Alva Edison himself. It was the biggest electrification project west of the Mississippi.
Do the floors still creak when you walk a hallway?
The floors
still
creak
upstairs?
The ghosts are there. It's beautifully decorated. It's just, it's a magical place.
The Hotel Del is the largest all-wooden hotel structure in the world. And the interesting thing is that it's never had a fire. And that's especially interesting because during World War II, it was occupied, it was used as a dorm for soldiers, sailors, whatever, there in San Diego. So, I mean, that makes it even more amazing that the place has survived all these years. But
it truly is. People can watch the movie Some Like It Hot, that famous Marilyn Monroe flick, to remember what the Del is like, and then plan a vacation. It's beautiful.
And actually, around Christmas time, surprisingly enough, the rates at the Hotel Del Coronado are a little bit lower.
The
I mean, they're not.
Rates go down, but I'll tell you, they get you on the food. Boy, the Thanksgiving Eve dinner, Christmas Day dinner, Christmas Eve dinner. Three bills at least.
It's not, certainly not for the faint of heart.
No. But it's beautiful, and it's worth it.
In San Diego, of course, at Christmas time. I mean, if you're looking for a white Christmas, that wouldn't be the place that you would go.
Well, but sand. Lots of sand.
Yeah.
White sand.
Mm-hmm. lots of white sand. All right, when we come back after the break, the second part of the program is filled with, we're going to take you to a special Christmas spot in San Luis Obispo. Actually, it's a special spot all year round. We're going to take you to New York City and do a little holiday celebrating with you there. We're going to take you to Santa Claus, Indiana, of all places, and tell you about people who help Santa by writing letters to Santa Claus back to kids at Christmas time.
It's a very special, somewhat Christmas edition, if you will, of the Travel Guys. Thank you so much for being a part of it and listening in today. We'll be back. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530, KFBK. Yaha, what is that? We are the Travel Guys. It's News Talk.
You know, you'd think our man here could find some Christmas music for us. You know, some Christmas bumper music here. We are in December. It sounds like we're getting ready for the Hootenanny.
Harris, he does a great job.
Well, he does. He does. He does. It is Jingle Bells. By golly, he did find some Christmas music.
There you go. We are the Travel Guys with Mark Hoffman and Clayton Whitehead from Sports Leisure Vacations. Rarely do they say who they work for and what they do, but they are the, Northern California's premier travel company, folks. The stuff we talk about is a result of the places they've gone and the people that they have taken there to enjoy stuff. And today, a special show. We're on the road to great destinations at Christmas time with Christmas displays and lights and trees and goodies. And Mark and Clayton, where are we headed next?
Well, first we should probably tell folks that all of the Christmas destinations we're talking about today can be found on the internet at travelguysradio.com. There's a lovely page there that will give you links to all of the places, Shoreacre State Park, that we talked about in the last half hour, and some of the places that we are going to talk about in this half hour, including some places right here in California, or at least just over the border, and one place in particular that is a favorite with our travelers, not only at the holiday season, but at all times of the year, but I think takes on a special look at the holiday season, is the Apple Farm Inn in San Luis Obispo. And Clayton, I know you have taken a number of groups there over the years. I have also. A lot of people, because of its more famous cousin, the Madonna Inn, sits just a couple miles up the road and is very visible from the highway there. Folks have driven by it for years, but the Apple Farm is kind of tucked away a little bit and is a little bit different experience. Why don't you share a little bit about the
Apple Farm? Well, it's definitely a destination hotel down in San Luis Obispo. Beautiful any time of year, but especially nice at Christmas time. All the rooms have fireplaces in them, big windows that open so you can get fresh air, hardwood floors, and this is the thing that everyone loves. Now, you know, I travel very often with mature adults. Perhaps bending over, getting on the floor might be difficult for some of them, but everyone manages to get down on their hands and knees and look under the beds at the Apple Farm, and there's a little sign that says, "Yes, we cleaned here too," and never a dust bunny at the Apple Farm. Yeah. Never a dust bunny. The other famous thing is that in every room there's a little wooden red apple, and you get to take it home as a souvenir. Great place, nice restaurant attached to it, and of course it's in the middle of one of the most beautiful cities and beautiful sections of the state of California. One of my favorite things to do down there, especially around the holidays, is to go to the old mission church. Of course, California has the 21 missions, but not all of them are active churches today. And the San Luis Obispo mission is particularly well restored. A beautiful place to just go and have a tour. Or if you happen to be there on Christmas Eve, to go to the carol service. Very, very nice. Another thing that's wonderful to do, and it's a very short drive, would be head over to San Simeon and see Hearst Castle, beautifully decorated for the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link right there that will take you to the Apple Farm. I just did it. That's how I know it. And we'll show you all of their holiday packages and stuff. It's a great place to go, not just at the holidays, but if you're ever passing through San Luis Obispo and you would like to spend a night at Grandma's house, then go to the Apple Farm Inn, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you check out in the morning. Clayton, this year at Christmas, we have the privilege of taking some folks to another small Northern California town which decorates itself fabulously for the holidays, and that's Ashland, Oregon.
Absolutely. Ashland, perhaps best known as the home of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. The festival is down this time of year, but there's still a lot of other local theaters that offer afternoon and evening entertainment opportunities. But the city itself is just beautiful. I drove up the Saturday and Sunday before Christmas last year just to make sure. And the lights are magical. The hospitality and the spirit of the people there is great. Stores were open late, even the weekend before Christmas, and great restaurants. It's a small town, but I think because of the theater festival and the educational component there, the university that's there, it's a very sophisticated little town. And Medford's nearby, home of Harry and David. You can do a tour there and get some Moose Munch.
Which we will.
We absolutely will.
Moose Munch.
Harry and David, home of all things good and expensive.
Yeah, it's like Cracker Jack's on steroids. It
really?
Is so good. So very, very good.
And there's a wonderful, I don't want to be repetitious, but there's a wonderful link on our website, because I'm just playing around here while you guys are talking. And look at this, Tom. Isn't that gorgeous? Doesn't that make you want to go to Ashland?
That is beautiful. That's crazy.
And that is what the downtown looks like. The downtown part of Ashland.
Uh-huh.
It looks kind of like Bedford Falls.
Yeah.
You know, if you were in It's a Wonderful Life and you look down the street, that's what Ashland, it looks like small towns, doesn't it, Clayton?
It absolutely does.
But all decorated up with all of the latest and greatest of Christmas lighting. By the way, if you would, here again, you indicated you're going to be taking a group there. Kind of walk me through, how many days do you stay? Two or three?
We're going to be there 4 days, three nights.
4 days. Kind of walk me through.
It's two full days, because it takes almost a day to get to Ashland.
Let's pretend Tom got to go, and you're gonna tell me what it is that I'm gonna get to do.
I guess we also have to tell people that this trip has been sold out for months, so there's
months
no hope that we're not promoting it.
But you can do it in your own car.
Absolutely,
just as easily.
Absolutely.
A beautiful drive up I-5, take you by Mount Shasta. And so much beautiful scenery as you pass over the mountain range. Then you set down into the little valley where Medford and Ashland and Jacksonville are located. Talent, some of the little towns there. Pear orchards, vineyards everywhere, and beautiful decorations. Great theater, great restaurants, and just a wonderful little small-town feel.
It's kind of an overgrown Mendocino.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ashland, because it's got all of these arts people who are there, and a lot of them tend to be young people and tend to be a little bit eclectic, and it gives the town a kind of a combination of eclectic and traditional, and it fits perfectly.
Beautiful.
It's just
yeah.
it's Ashland is a very different city because of that arts influence, I think, than any other
yes.
city. Wouldn't you agree, Clay?
And wonderful hotels, a lot of boutique properties, bed and breakfast inns, so great accommodations.
So from Oregon, we take people across the country as we talk about some of our favorite Christmas destinations here. And a couple of the other ones that I wanted to mention before we get to Santa Claus, which is, I think, a really special Christmas destination. I just came back from New York City, where we were.
You did the Thanksgiving
thing. The Thanksgiving Day Parade.
We talked about it on our last show.
And it was a lot of fun, as always. New York City is a special place. Of course, the holidays is a really busy time.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. There was hardly anybody there.
Yeah, exactly. So starting with it's really funny because we get to New York City the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and the city is virtually deserted Sunday, Monday, and then about noon Tuesday, people start to arrive. And by noon Wednesday, the city is overflowing. And then you have the Macy's Day Parade, and then the whole shopping thing starts. And really, if you're going to New York and it's not important for you to be there at Christmas time, you will find prices are higher, and plus you've got the occasional bad weather and stuff to deal with. So it's really not the best time to visit New York in terms of if you're just going there for Broadway shows or to be outdoors or something. But if you want the spirit of the holiday season, mm-hmm. and of course you have things like the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall,
sure.
and who will be in Sacramento for a day later on this
That's
month.
That's correct.
But there's nothing like seeing
yeah,
the real deal.
With all apologies to all the folks who have bought tickets, and we've sold some of them, it'll be, I'm sure, great in Sacramento. The Rockettes are the Rockettes, and they're great anywhere. But if you haven't been to Radio City Music Hall to see a concert or a performance, it's something you should definitely put on your bucket list.
The building itself is amazing. The pipe organ, phenomenal. And, of course, they begin with a sing-along.
Oh, yes. And that's a very, very special show. And then, of course, they light the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, which they did,
Tuesday following Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah, we miss it. But we can always see the big tree that's been mounted, and they're putting all the lights on it, and the skating rink there at Rockefeller Center. And it's just – it's a magical
place. You do that skating rink there, Mark, do you?
I don't do the skating thing because I don't do the skiing thing. You know, it's kind of like, why would you propel yourself down the side of a mountain with no visible means of stopping except running into a building or a rock or a tree or something like that.
Yeah, ask Sonny Bono about that.
Absolutely. So I think New York is not only it's a great holiday destination, but it's something you've got to be able to take out the wallet. You're looking at hotel rates of $300-$350 to stay around Midtown Times Square. There are other places, New Jersey and East Side and downtown and Brooklyn, and places you can stay close to subway lines and public transportation, save a lot more, pay a lot less than that. But if you want the convenience and all of the lights and everything of Times Square, it's going to cost you a pretty penny.
And the other thing you have to do is go to the department stores. Not necessarily to shop. You can shop back home. Shop at Arden Malls. Spend your money locally, right? But you have to go see the windows. The windows at Saks, Bloomingdale's, and Macy's.
Thanksgiving night, we get off of the World Yacht Cruise. We've gone out by the Statue of Liberty, and the ship is pulled up within a couple hundred feet of the statue. Magical. I mean, just magical. And then we come back, get off the boat, get on the motor coach, and drive up to Central Park South, and then we just slowly come down Fifth Avenue, past Tiffany's and Saks Fifth Avenue and all these places, and they've got their wonderful Christmas windows all up by Thanksgiving night. And as Clayton says, some people come to New York City for no other reason than just to walk down Fifth Avenue, either in the daytime or at night or both, and see the Christmas lights.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
It's a great destination. All right, when we come back after the break, we are going to take you to Santa Claus, Indiana, and find out what that town does that is so special, and how did it get the name Santa Claus, and also take you to a great New England destination for Christmas time. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman, along with Clayton Whitehead and Tom Romano. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Happy holidays, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We hope that your Sunday is a wonderful one so far. Thanks for joining us. We're a little Christmas program traveling around, first of all, the state of California, and then made our way up to Ashland, Oregon, to take a look at the lights and the wonderful destinations and things to enjoy this holiday season. We're back with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, along with Clayton Whitehead. And where to, Mark?
Well, first,
you notice how I threw that out to you because I knew that our guest that we were going to have.
Yeah, our guest hasn't. Yeah, well, that's the beauty of live radio is.
Yeah, it's yours now, go buddy.
That's why you do taped interviews, is because then you always know you have them. But hopefully, our lady from Santa Claus will be with us soon. TravelGuysRadio.com is a great resource for you today because it has got connections to all of these places: Ashland, the Apple Farm, the Hotel Del Coronado, all these wonderful places, Shore Acres State Park up in Coos Bay that we've been talking about today. And one of the places that we haven't spoken about today that we want to share with you is a place that I was last December for a little pre-Christmas celebration. It's called the Red Lion Inn.
And Red Lion Inn? I've heard of the Red Lion Inn.
No, not the Red Lion Inn here in Sacramento, the venerable old hotel that's been around for ages and is throughout the Pacific Northwest. No, this is a different independent Red Lion Inn. It's in a lovely little town. Do you see it here on the website here, Tom?
It's
in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
With an I-O-N.
It's in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And the cool thing about this particular hotel, there's a very famous Norman Rockwell painting that has a picture of Stockbridge in the wintertime, and it shows this lovely inn. And at the time when Mr. Rockwell painted the picture, the inn was not open in the wintertime. And so in the picture, all the lights are off. But now, of course, the inn is open in the wintertime. So you have this beautiful – anyway, it's a lovely scene in New England. It's in western Massachusetts, just about an hour from Albany, New York, actually. Or probably about a 3.5-hour drive from Boston, I would say, as Clayton would say, in Yankee territory.
It is in Yankee territory. And speaking of Boston, there's a really cool Christmas thing to do there, too. And that is going to see the Boston Pops.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, awesome Christmas music.
We had an opportunity last year to take a group to the Boston Pops, and I had never been there before. I'd never seen the Pops concerts in the summertime or anything like that. And so we went to see a Pops concert, And I have to just tell you, that is one of the most magical things you can ever do in your life.
I've heard you guys talk about it. And, in fact, we had a show, earlier this year where the Boston Pops
The Pops were a part of our program.
How that any kind of imitation or those that do the Boston Pops tunes, it's just not the same as to seeing the real deal.
There is nothing like, I have to tell you, I was just completely blown away by Boston Pops. If you are in Boston and it is Christmas time, then you have to go to a Boston Pops concert. I mean, that's just an absolute must.
Now, if you want to go to a Boston Pops, and you are there, how do you make that happen for yourself? Is there a 1-800-BOSTON-POPS? Do you go to the ticket booth and walk up?
I would not suggest walking up. It's an extremely popular concert series, whether it's their regular summer season or their holiday performances. Definitely, if you're going to Boston, get online or call the 800 number, which I don't have, but I think Mr. Mark's looking up.
Yep, it's bso.org, because we don't have it on our website today. So if you're looking it's the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
To definitely get those tickets in advance. And for Sacramentans, this will make some sense. Symphony Hall in Boston is very much like our Memorial Auditorium. There are seats and a horseshoe around the floor, a couple balconies, I believe. But the best seating would be on the wooden floor, cocktail seating, little small tables, cabaret seating, rather, they would call it, little tables of four. And the very sophisticated thing to do is to order refreshments before the first act to be served during intermission, and have some tea and some cookies.
And if you can't get on the floor with the great, and you're part of the Great Unwashed, then the next best seats in the auditorium, the Great Unwashed, because the seats on the floor.
Is that a market colloquialism?
Well, the seats on the floor are a little more expensive. And so for the rest of us folks.
That's the rest of us folks, the Great Unwashed.
The Great Unwashed, yes. We sit in one of our favorite spots to sit in is if you're thinking of a Memorial Auditorium, you'll understand this, is not to sit on the sides, but rather to sit in the back looking straight on. You're a little bit further away, but gives you a better view of the, in case you're just shopping online for tickets, that would be our ticket tip.
Got it. Okay.
And if you're really lucky, Mr. Keith Lockhart himself will be there directing, and he is one entertaining conductor.
All right. It looks like our gal from Santa Claus is not going to make it with us today. But,
well, then why don't we do this? Why don't you pretend to be her, and I will interview
you. Okay. Why don't you then?
Just go right ahead. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is a place where they help Santa out in so many ways this time of the year called Santa Claus, Indiana. And there, if I wrote a letter, from what I understand, if I wrote a letter to Santa Claus to help Santa out, because he does get, I don't know, millions and millions of letters. There's folks there that help out. Tell me what you know.
It would come right to Santa Claus, Indiana. Any child that addresses a letter to Santa Claus. Now, North Pole is a whole different place.
Right.
But if you address it to Santa Claus, it comes to Santa Claus, Indiana. Now, they get tens of thousands of letters. And with the advent of the Internet, they are getting tens of thousands of Internet letters, and they have several kind of form letters that they – because Santa is incredibly busy at this time of the year, as you might imagine, preparing all the toys and everything. So he enlists the folks in Santa Claus to help him answer some of these letters to the children. And you can go to Santa Claus, and you can help be one of Santa's helpers, and you can volunteer and answer letters to Santa Claus.
This is like a real-life elf.
It really is. And if you've it's – I don't want to put a downer on the program, but the truth of the matter is that you sit around and read children's letters to Santa Claus for about an hour, and if you have a dry eye left in the house, then because kids ask for things that are not for themselves. And it's just really – the work that these people do around Christmas time is so special, because they literally are taking tens of thousands of children and reinforcing the fact that there is such a thing as a Santa Claus. And that and it's a beautiful little town. They have a wonderful parade celebration and a big Christmas lights display. And it's a really great place to go. It's only a couple hours from St. Louis.
Got to be a lot of pressure on Santa Claus, Indiana. I mean, with a name like that. People are going to be expecting a lot when you go to a Christmas event.
Yes, they are going to be expecting a whole lot. And Santa Claus, Indiana is a little tiny town. I mean, it's really a wide spot in the road. And if the Travel Guys radio is still around at this Christmas next year, why, we will get our Santa Claus lady on and have her tell us how the town of Santa Claus got its name. But it's such a wonderful place to visit, because Indiana is a really inexpensive place to travel. And food is less expensive, accommodations are less expensive, and anybody who's out there listening who has relatives in that part of the country will vouch for this. But Santa Claus is in south, western Indiana, and again, just a couple hours drive from St. Louis and a couple hours drive from Indianapolis.
And there, it's SantaClaus.com. Is that
Well, it's on our website, and actually it's called legendaryplaces.org. Okay. Is where you go to get Santa Claus, Indiana, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll pick it up from there. I guess we got to get one more commercial break in, and then we'll be back with some parting holiday thoughts.
Right here on the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK. The Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and I want to thank all of you that showed up at the California Backyard Store yesterday between 11 and 1 out in on Hazel. We collected 58 artificial Christmas trees that the Salvation Army is going to give to families. The week before, we collected 22 in Roseville. Shame on you. 58 in Rancho and Gold River, and then next Saturday, we're going to be
Yay
up in Natomas. Natomas, you better step up, gang. We're looking for you to step up and see if you can beat the 58. And thank you all for all you do at Christmas time, Mark.
Hey, good job. Clayton, what are you doing? Oh, I was going to say, what are you doing at Christmas this year? But
I'm going to Ashland.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said I was going to plug something before we came back here. What did I say I was going to plug?
Mr. Mark, I have a shout out.
Okay.
I would like to let everyone know that our good fellow employee of, 10 years or more, Joey Quario. Joey Quario, our good friend, has had hip replacement surgery. So I'm shouting out to her, and if any of her friends are listening, send a card to the office, and we'll make sure she gets it.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Joey, and quick recoveries from all of your sports leisure friends. I will be going with Mr. Clayton up to Ashland this year to help entertain our friends up in Ashland, Oregon. That's going to be a lot of fun. That is such a beautiful town at Christmas time. I am really looking forward to it. What are you doing, Mr. Romano?
Well, it'll be Christmas at the Romano's house, and then off to San Antonio, Texas to hang out with my daughter and future
son-in-law. Oh, so you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're doing the one Christmas in one city and then go and do the relative Christmas in the other city.
There you go. And as I mentioned, we'll be doing a lot of collecting of Christmas trees and making people's wishes come true over on Classic 93.1, the holiday music.
Yeah,
station,
where you're playing all Christmas.
Christmas.
It's on my radio for 93.1 to hit all the Christmas songs. And the other day I heard Jimmy Durante doing Frosty the Snowman during your afternoon program. It was classic for sure. Well,
and a thanks to Harris and all of our support staff, Jim, for helping us out here all year long.
The always lovely Jim Naylor, who will be in here to give you all the news update in just a few moments. You have a nice holiday season. Merry Christmas from the Travel Guys.